Let's pray. Hallelujah. Whoa, it's not going to be good. Father, we just rejoice tonight. Like Pastor Mark was saying, whatever needs we have, we ought to bring them to the house of God and leave without them. Glory to God. You're that kind of a God. You're that big. And we just magnify you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for that wonderful anointing of God that destroys every yoke. And I just ask you to feed everybody here with the very finest of the wheat and with honey from the rock. Satisfy their souls. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. All right, I want you to go with me initially to Luke chapter 13. We'll go other places, but that's the starting point anyway. I guess I should look at the clock. Okay, Luke 13, verse 18. Therefore, Jesus was saying, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." So the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Now, the kingdom of God is what came into your heart when you accepted Jesus. That came in. And he says that it's like a mustard seed, which is a very alive thing. And certainly the grace of God unto salvation came in, and it's like that. Praise God. All right, you'll be shouting before this is over. And we find that Jesus brought other graces with him that maybe are not quite so well known, but he brought something called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. That's a grace, something that he brought that we didn't deserve, but it came along freely. But he brought a bunch of more stuff. There's such a thing as healing of the body. That's a grace. And a whole lot more. And all of these were here or sent by Jesus to expand our lives. God wants your life shining brighter than probably it does tonight. I mean, ever increasing. So, he's got graces to put in our life that every one of them will expand our life. What do you mean expand our life? Expand the value of our life? If you're born again, then you are valuable to the world. Whether they accept it or not, you have the light of God in you. That's right. The light that can turn the darkest darkness into light. So we have value. We have the effect of our lives ought to be much greater because of the kingdom of God that has come into our lives. And absolutely the fulfillment. Every time I do anything in the Spirit and the Spirit of God moves through me, I find that is fulfilling. Better than anything I ever saw on the other side. So the kingdom of God is sent into our life to expand our lives like nothing else. And if it's not growing within us, we're shrinking. Matthew 12:30 says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." So if we're not growing, we're shrinking. If we're not expanding, we're drying up. I told you it's going to be good news. That's not it. What does God, just sort of in general, really want out of our life? Well, He wants it to grow. In Isaiah 54:2, He says, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Spare not, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your pegs, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations, and they will resettle the desolate cities." So God wants our lives expanding. He wants our influence getting bigger, better, more influencing. Now, wouldn't that be sad if He said, "Now, pull in your tent stakes, you know, that it's as good as it's ever going to get today. It's downhill tomorrow." No, He says the path of the righteous now is supposed to get brighter and brighter.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that's what we want, is God, let your path get brighter and brighter in me. Now the seed, the kingdom of God, opens a richness of our life within God's boundaries. So He's going to expand my life, He's going to expand your life, but it's going to be totally within the boundaries of the Word. Colossians 1:13 says, "He delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Now, if He hadn't done that, we would not, Pastor Mark could not have said what he said a while ago about if you got needs, leave them. He'd have to say, "I'm sorry, you've got needs, but it'll get worse." Oh, but He didn't. Because God delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. So if there's any darkness that's dominating my life, it's not God's fault. And it's me that's allowing it. So I want to change that, because I want to get the grace of God, which will allow me to walk in the fullness of what He's got, which is dominance over the kingdom of darkness. Okay, now all that's my buildup. Now we're going to go into a specific grace that He has left on the table for us. And we don't want to get to heaven and find out there were a bunch of graces that we never partook of. I don't, anyway. I know by faith that you don't either. Right, Dennis? Okay. I expect an amen from that section right there. So, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1. Now we're in the message. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. "God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Called into fellowship. Okay, now fellowship, looking it up in Strong's Concordance, means to be with, together with, to be companions, participating with, sharing with. That's enough, you get the idea. So fellowshipping with somebody is interacting with them. And look here what I just read, that He has called us into fellowship. In other words, He's wanting interaction with you. Now, just so we don't misunderstand what He is saying, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are called into a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm not partaking of that, I am leaving a grace on the table that I'm supposed to be interacting with Him in. John had to tell us that because we think, oh yeah, John had a relationship with the Lord Jesus. But he's saying it wasn't that earthly thing, but what I experienced, I am relating it to you so that you also may have that same fellowship with Jesus. So we're talking about a grace that's been given that if we participate in it, it's going to make us so much richer. It's going to be a one of those kingdom of God graces that will greatly enrich your life. So it's a grace given. Now in the wilderness tabernacle, you know, that of Moses, in the holy place, there were three pieces of furniture. And by the way, everything in that tabernacle, both inside, outside, everything in there speaks of Jesus. Okay, now there were three pieces of furniture in the holy place. There was the golden lampstand, which represents the life of the Spirit that we are to enjoy in Jesus. There is the golden altar of incense, which represents the worship that we have a right to enter into in the Lord Jesus, and it stood right outside the very Holy of Holies. And then there was also in that place the table of showbread. Now, what was that? That was a table on which there were, I don't know how many loaves of bread that stood there, just sat there. And after a time, I don't know how long a time, probably a week, something like that, well, the priests came in and they ate the bread. Now, this represents fellowship, that we are to have a fellowship, a heavenly fellowship with the Lord. Now, see, these guys were in there fellowshipping around the bread in the holy place, bread that had sat in the presence of God for 7 days, if that's how long it was. There wasn't any high-fiving, you know, how's the game going or nothing like that. When you fellowship in that kind of an atmosphere, it's a holy thing. And that's what He has called us into, is a holy fellowship with Him. Amen. And you just cannot do that and remain the same. So it's a grace that's given, and we are blessed by it. Now, the table of showbread, it was made of wood, but it was overlaid with pure gold, representing the meeting of wood, the human being, with the pure gold, Almighty God, in fellowship. Glory to God. And this is ours in Christ. Whether or not we partake of it, it's there. It's available. It's been given to us. And it will greatly enrich our life. It's ours in Christ. He is the showbread. Glory to God. And basically, fellowship is being with Him. Just being with Him. Matthew 18:20 says, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." Did anybody come tonight in the name of Jesus? Amen. Okay, hallelujah. We got more than enough. So He's here. So So being with him. Now, fellowship has some benefits, and we're going to look at a little bit of the benefits. What's the most obvious thing that jumps out at you when we talk about in his presence? Okay, you're afraid to answer. What's the scripture that we always think about? In his presence is? All right, you got it. Fullness of joy. Is there anybody that couldn't stand a dose of that? Yeah. So in his presence is fullness of joy. So here is a benefit of fellowshipping with Jesus. I know that I will get a fullness of joy. Probably, you know, in degrees, depending on how much I fellowship, how deeply I let it go. But either way, it's going to be a fullness of joy or an injection of joy. And we all want that. That's our strength. So we must have fellowship with him. In his presence is fullness of joy. Now, another benefit of fellowship, it leaves an imprint on our life. You just can't go there without being affected. In Acts 4:13, Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Now, these people that are recognizing them as having been with Jesus didn't know Jesus. They were there to harass. They were there to persecute. And yet, Peter and John had been with Jesus enough that it showed on the outside, and even these sinners recognized it. Now, isn't that really what we want? For the world to look at me and recognize that I have been with Jesus, whether they know him or not? Yeah, glory to God. So fellowshipping with him leaves an imprint on your life. Moses did it too much and he glowed. Glowed like a light bulb. They had to put a sack over his head because he was scaring people. When we get in the presence of the Lord, we see life differently. I mean, it just looks different after you've been in the presence of God. I mean, I can be troubled, I can have stuff going on, and if I'll just draw aside and get in the presence of God, suddenly I can see what I didn't see before. I shouldn't tell this probably, but usually when I say that, I'm getting ready to tell it. Just the other day, there was something going on in me, some kind of a stupid mood or something. And I'm not a moody person, but I was that day. And I knew you better keep your mouth shut or you're going to say something you'll be sorry for. Okay, I had enough self-control to keep my mouth shut. But I thought, now I'm not going to spend my day trying to keep my mouth shut. So I just pulled aside, went out on our back porch, just sat for a little bit in the presence of God. And it's amazing how it melted away. Don't know when it left exactly, just what happened. All I know was I came in the house different from the way I went out of the house. Something about his presence. Fellowship. Just get in his presence. Now, we know iron sharpens iron. You know, you try to stay home and be a good Christian and don't ever mix with people, you're going to get strange. That you'll get weird. You'll get some weird doctrines. You got to mix. You got to be a part of a church. Got to fellowship with people. But So iron sharpens iron. Well, how much more so if one of those pieces of iron is God? If I get with him quite a bit, don't you think I'd come out sharper? Yeah, and you would too. Okay, now something else good, a benefit of this fellowship I'm talking about is in John 15. John 15, 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So you want to find out the secrets of God? Get with God. Fellowship with him. He will talk. He's probably talking a whole lot of the time, but I don't hear it because I have not been in fellowship like I should. But God will talk to us. He says, you know, in Jeremiah, I believe, ask of me and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. Would anybody like to hear some great and mighty things? Yeah, why not? Great and mighty things to cause me to be more of a firebrand for God, to affect my world greater. Hallelujah. So, yeah, I need to hear some of those great and mighty things. Well, he says, ask of me. Well, there's a commercial on right now, but, you know, in the next round of them, I'll ask. It doesn't happen that way. You don't get them that quick. Now, fellowship requires a equality of level. God needed people to fellowship with him, and he had all those angels. Why didn't he just use them? They're not in the same class. But we were created in the God class so that we can fellowship with God. Now, God has a desire. Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. I will fellowship with him. If anybody will just open the door, can you hear the heart of God saying, why put it off? Why not come in and let me make you richer? I understand this as a father. Now, my kids are really quite good about coming around and all that, but sometimes when there's been a gap, when we had to miss some time together, I'll just give a call. I've called Shelley before, I know, and said, I just needed to hear your voice. Don't have anything to say? Just wanted to hear your voice, so talk. I see in that the heart of God crying out, I just want to be with you. Am I satisfying that desire of God? I just want to pour some of myself over on you. Am I giving him the opportunity? He desires fellowship with us. After all, we were created in his image. He's demonstrated it all the way through the Bible in Genesis 1 through 3, right in there somewhere. What's he doing with Adam in the cool of the day? Walking and talking with Adam and Eve. What's that? Fellowshipping. Sharing himself. He hadn't changed in his heart. He changes not. When that fell through, well, he immediately went to work to make covenant with man, so he could have somebody to fellowship with again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we have a covenant with the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. A covenant that opens the door to fellowship for me. And it's not just a thing to while away your time. I mean, it's to come into His presence, to get filled with Him again, to go out of His presence, out into a world that is so starving and hungry for somebody that knows the truth. So He's demonstrated His need and desire and His provision for fellowship. Now the exercise of it, God's part. God's got a part in this. And He's got really two parts. The first was that He did the whole redemptive work so that we can come into His presence. He did the works. However, if that were all of it, that wouldn't be enough because He had to let us know about it. Well, He gave the Word that had all these things in it. He gave preachers to bring it forth so that we could know about it. I was raised in a Christian home, born again when I was 10, and didn't know anything about fellowshipping with God because it was never taught. It was never spoken of. You go, you get saved, you go into heaven, all is well. There's more. There is much more. I want the more. I want people that hear me to get the more. So His part is the redemptive work and informing us in His Word about it. You know, David got a little glimpse of it, but he couldn't get it. In Psalms 8, he speaks of, God, I just don't get this. You made all this awesome stuff. Why do you even care about me? I'm a less than a zero compared to all your great ability and everything, but God chose to love you. He chose to have you. He made the way for you to come to Him more than just a hallelujah, I'm saved, but I'm walking and talking with Jesus, the living God, just like 1 John spoke of, that you can have fellowship with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We're supposed to have it. Okay, our part in it, let's see, in Ephesians chapter 2, this is still His part. Verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's sad shape. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Okay, now our part is in Hebrews 10:22. God always does the hardest part. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So He made it possible for us to draw near. Our part is to draw near. I don't draw near, I'm not going to partake of the grace that God has put on the table for me. We know from Ephesians that he has raised us up together with him and seated us together with him in heavenly places in Christ. We're told to walk in the light as he is in the light. We do. We have fellowship together, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all iniquity or sin. Now, there are levels of fellowship. Just from observation, I've seen that we can have, well, for start off with, you can't have fellowship with an unbeliever. That's out. I mean, yeah, you can, you know, how's the ball game? But we're talking about something spiritual, and it's impossible for light and darkness to have fellowship together. So we got nothing fellowship-wise with an unbeliever. However, with a believer now, it's a whole different ball game, and we can have fellowship. Okay, remember, fellowship is interacting. I'm receiving from them, they're receiving from me. It's working both ways. We both leave richer. There is a low level of fellowship, even with believers. I mean, there's a lot of church people, you know, that are good people, saved, born again, but really don't hardly have a spiritual bone in their body. Sorry to put it that way, but they're not too inclined to pursue the things of God. Well, you can have a fellowship with them, but it's not very deep. But then there are others where we can move in and share spiritual things. Do you have anybody you can really share spiritual things with? It's a good deal. And then there's a few that really desire to go deep, where you just sort of click together and you can just really fellowship with. Now, this is a picture, an idea, it's a human side of our fellowshipping with Jesus. And it's of God. I mean, we travel every year with Bob and Vicki Fox there, and we have a fellowship together. We play, but we pray. We seek the Lord together. Now, you can't do that with everybody. So I'm not inviting you on our next trip. Because I don't know whether you're one that we can or not. But when you get somebody like that, you better treasure it and hang on to it. And don't treat it like a thing of no value. But that's just a picture to me of what I can have with Jesus. Where I am enriched by him every day. A deep fellowship. Jesus had levels of closeness with, people, with his disciples, far closer than what he was with the other people that he taught. And then it looks like that there were three of them that sort of stood out above the rest, that where he could just, it wasn't that he loved them any more than anybody else. Peter, James, and John, they just seemed to be at the right spot at the right time, just wanting to get a little closer to him. And therefore, they did get closer to him. Okay, and then of those three, it looks like John may have even gotten in a little inside the other two. Not a competition thing, just had that heart to pursue. That's the way this fellowship thing is. It will take some time. All right, some of you just checked out right then. I really don't have time not to do it. Because God's trying to put something good into my life. in your life. So much so that he sent me on a Wednesday night, on a dry Wednesday night, to tell you about something that you may not have really thought much about. You probably read right over that word in the most of the scriptures I've read. But it's a grace that's given. It's for you. It's for me. The more I partake of it, the more I determine I'm not going to leave this off of my life. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, we just come tonight. Won't you stand up? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, just simple faith says we agree on the Word of God that I'm not pursuing you, trying to feel like I've made it into your presence, but I come by faith. I just believe God. I believe that you will enrich my life as I come to you. That it won't be a time of just getting spiritual fat, but it'll make me more of a useful to the Master. A stronger, bolder witness of the grace of God. Now, Father, I ask you to move upon everybody here in a special way. I know your word has, but just to encourage their hearts like Pastor was speaking earlier, whatever need they've got, may they realize that your presence will so help them to see the solution or the relative importance of their need. In the light of your presence, everything here gets smaller. We sang, nothing is impossible with God. Is it more than a song, or is it real? Hallelujah. I ask you just to move upon their hearts, Lord God. For every impossibility, may they just bury it under the power and the might of your presence. The glory of our God. Hallelujah. Hatarabashikilibosotarabaya. Bekali shakuraba tongeli shakuraba tando. Mendelabashuketaratehisi. Just be still. Let the Spirit of God move. I was thinking earlier that this is a house of worship. It's a house of the Word, but it's also a house of prayer. So, Lord, we just respond to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Mighty God. Tele sobro kibachi kilipa sote, mendeleba shuki terendis seteleba kiashi, kureba tungili shakarateasi, kumbro setele mandeleba kiashi kiliasi. Glory to God, ele kiashiki. Oh God, you are awesome, wonderful. O ye boshikilio sotorande shikiridibose, ketorandele boshikilio si. Habro kiba sotolabo kiashi. Father, heal the one that's perplexed in their heart. Straighten out the thinking of the one that's thinking wrong. K Kele shokura batundalabosi. Just be still and know that He is God. Kepro satarandeshi. Hatarabashia. He says we're not to be anxious about anything, but to pray about everything. And there is a peace that passes our understanding that'll keep our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. If you're anxious about anything, He lays out a solution for you. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Now, Father, I just declare the blessing of the Lord upon each one of these here, upon this church. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Pastor Mark.
Praise the Lord. I want to remind you, there is a secret place where we're supposed to dwell. And when you dwell in that secret place, oh, what blessings are available to us, what blessings come on us. But there's one thing I want to read to you from that Psalm 91. He says, this is what he says about the one that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Because he has set his love upon me, then he gives us a bunch more promises and blessings. But I just want you to see that you see, we dwell in that secret place. We spend time with Him because we set our love upon Him. He's the desire of our heart, and we love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. No better way for you to express your love for Him than to want a fellowship with Him and just be with Him. And I just encourage you. Oh, I think the Word and the Holy Spirit has just done this already. I can't really add anything to it. But church, let's receive this tonight, and let's apply this in our life every day. Let's pursue after Him and open that door of fellowship with Him. Dwell in that secret place with Him. What a blessing. What a blessing. Oh, Father, I just thank You for what You're doing in our hearts and lives, Lord, that we forever be changed. Lord, that every person in this room tonight, Lord, that we're growing. That Your kingdom is becoming bigger in us, Lord. That every day, Lord, that we're becoming more like You, being conformed to the image of Your Son. I pray, Father, that You use us in this dark world to Your glory and honor. I thank You for it, Lord. Thank You for it, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.